Welcome to the Daily Business Hustle podcast. My name is Alexander Vitkin. I'm the creator and founder of the Daily Business Hustle. On this podcast, I share with you my top unbiased business advice, sales advice, and I talk to the world's top experts in their fields related to business.
We're going to teach you our sales process, and we're also going to explain how to get leads for your, well, if you want to do sales, and then we're going to convert it. The sales process that we use every day, we're going to convert it to cold calling. So with cold calling, the benefit is anyone here, you know, you can start cold calling right away. You don't need like extra special tools or anything like that. You can start cold calling immediately once you have leads and you know the process. And that's what exactly we're going to teach you on this live stream. Usually, you know, this is the kind of stuff that we teach in the mastermind, but people are like, guys, you're live. You know, it's really funny. Usually we teach this in the mastermind, but we decided to live stream this for you guys just to give you some extra value and to, you know, get more people to watch this live stream, honestly, because we're doing it every week. And the plan is we want to get back to, we used to do these. I had 100 people live, looking at them live every, it was daily. I was doing daily live streams, 150 people. So I want to get back to the level where 150 people watch this. So if you enjoy this, then maybe share it on your profile or like tell your friends about it. They were doing these live streams every Monday at 5 p.m. Paris time. That's the current time. And you get a notification if you subscribe to, you know, getting notifications for this. You know, it's you can probably see what I'm talking about. So let's get started with the actual content, all right? So the first thing I want to talk about is since you need to get leads to call to, right? Since you need to get leads for, especially for cold calling, I can give you a very simple method or several simple methods of generating those leads. So the first simple, super ridiculously simple method that I can teach my, you know, I can teach a 12-year-old to do this basically. So to do this, you need to find qualified leads either on Google or Yellow Pages. How do you do that? So on Google, for example, you choose a type of company, for example, accountants or roof workers that I like to use those examples that don't have a secretary. Because with cold calling, one of the major issues that people have is when they cold call, they're like, oh shit, it's a secretary and have issues with getting through and that kind of stuff. It's like a beginner issue that happens all the time. Now, if you want to avoid this and you can find a type of business in your country or a different country that doesn't have secretaries, but they still, you know, they still have money, they'll buy whatever it is you're selling. As long as they have demand for what you're selling, you can Google those businesses and you can find their ads on Google. So if you find their ads on Google, that means this company is actually spending money on promoting itself. That means they have money to invest on marketing. If they have money to invest in marketing, you can probably sell them some kind of service, some kind of marketing service. And they're not going to be like, huh, what the fuck? And you'd be surprised because they are buying it already. They're more likely to buy more. People who don't buy anything, they're not on Google Ads, for example, they're less likely to buy. Even if you sell Google Ads, it's easier to sell Google Ads to someone who's already doing Google Ads because they don't have to be sold on the idea. They just have to be sold on you and the service. So, yeah, you just type into Google. You type in accountants, your local area, right? Accountants New York, if you're from New York, for example. And lots of guys are liking it. By the way, you guys can ask questions in the comments. We are actually reading the comments. I'm checking my phone all the time to read the comments. So accountants New York, for example. And then you find their phone number on their website. And you find something to give them feedback on to consult them on the first call, right? And you write down a bunch of those leads in an Excel sheet, or you have your assistant do it. And then you can go ahead and spend a few hours calling all these people and having a nice conversation, sales conversation with them, right? So that's method number one. That is Google and contact companies that are already advertising. It's really, really easy. You can do it any country almost, because not all countries, not everyone's doing Google Ads, but almost any country you can do that, no problem at all. And it's free leads. And free infinite leads, basically. Well, as good as infinite. And when the people you've already called, if you called everyone and you called the same people you called 3 months ago, they don't remember who you are. So you can keep calling the same people over a period of a number of years and they won't even notice because they're like, oh, just leave me alone or whatever. They don't remember that you called them a year ago, so or 3 months ago. So those are Google leads, okay? And it's like a free how to use Google as a free lead generation tool. Now the next lead generation tool you could say is Yellow Pages. So if you're from the United States, you can use Yellow Pages or Yelp or TripAdvisor company websites like that to find local companies, almost the same way that you would find companies on Google. And then you can gather information, gather contact info, gather information about their company from Yellow Pages and from their websites. And the thing with Yellow Pages is because there's scrapers for Yellow Pages, there's bots that scrape Yellow Pages, like gather, they crawl the web for you and they gather that information for you. You can get a tool for like $30 online, just type in Yellow Page scraper and it'll generate those leads for you. So you just open an Excel sheet and start making phone calls, start making sales calls. So wow, lots of guys are reacting to the live stream. Thanks for joining, by the way. I really appreciate that you guys are coming here every week. So if you use those tools and generate those Excel sheets, fantastic. Just make sure that you're screening, screening out the best possible leads out of the Excel sheet that is being generated. So those are the two main ways for you to easily generate leads. So I have a question here. Hey, Alex, what advice would you give to organic direct mail to coaches? Organic direct mail. What is organic direct mail? I don't understand that. Would you work for free first? I just haven't. You haven't had a client yet. What I did was work really cheap in the beginning. So I just did some really cheap projects just to get like a portfolio, and after that I just got expensive ones, expensive clients, or well-paying clients like that actually. So, and I'm not sure what you mean by organic direct mail. I really don't know. I don't do direct mail. I don't like direct mail. Maybe you mean email, but I don't like that at all. I like calls and I like inbound sales, which actually brings me to the next topic. So we have actually one of our newer members here from the mastermind. Actually haven't introduced anyone yet because we got started in a weird way, but I'm here with Jester. You guys already know him. He's one of our coaches in Dalvin Cecil, and he comes here well almost every week. And in Kareem, he's actually one of our newer members, very new actually, like 2 3 weeks, and he's recently started getting sales. So I actually brought him on here just to contribute to the call as someone who just started doing it but already gets it because he's getting sales. But I'm going to actually ask you, Kareem, do you want to explain like what is a good sales process that people can use for inbound sales? So if when people come to you, what is your favorite sales process?
Right. So for the sales process, essentially, I guess to simplify it, I could put it in like four steps, four really simple steps that you have to follow. And the key, I guess the key about it is that you can have your own script if you like, or you can like improvise as you get better to it. But the key thing about it is that you have to like stick to the process so that you don't move to the step ahead once you completed the one before. Because when you start skipping processes, that's when everything, it doesn't work. That's when you try to get like the shortcuts, so you just don't qualify well enough and it just doesn't work. So the good thing about this is once you have these four steps, then could you just follow them to the T, you'll get better at them, and most of the times you're going to close the sale. So I guess a good or a simple way to put it would be, as soon as you get on the phone with the client, the first thing that we always do is build rapport. And because always you don't want to, like go right into the business. Like, I mean, I've had a client who wanted to just like jump straight into it. He's like, no, I don't have time for anything. Just like, let's get on the business. You get clients like that, but most of them, they want to talk to you. They want to see who the person is that they're talking to. And so you can do like this small talk if you want. But the thing about the small talk is, the most powerful way to do small talk is not to be talking, about like the weather or like what you did this weekend. Like, I mean, anyone can do that. That's nothing like really special. What I found to be like the most powerful way of small talk is telling stories that relate what he tells you to something that you've had in the past. So a good way is just like, ask a lot of questions, and then from the information that they give you, we call it like chain of associations. From the information that they give you, then you can elaborate a story that maybe, that happened to you a year ago or 2 years ago or whatever. And just by sharing that story, that's already something deeper and different than just talking about the random weather and anything like that. So if you can do that, if you can tell stories about yourself or about your business or like any story that you might share in common, that's very, very powerful rapport that you can use. So that's the first step. And then from then you actually want to get like into the actual process of the sale. And then you would move to what we call the qualification process, which is essentially flipping the script. So usually what most people who try to do sales want to do is like they want to like offer their product. They want to like get the sale. It's like, you know, here's what I have to offer. Do you want to buy it? Like I don't care about anything. I just want the sale. Just buy from me, please. You know, it's like that. What's that quote? Beggars can't be choosers, right? So if you're just like begging for them to buy from you, it doesn't come off as professional, and they might not be one. They might, you know, be put off by that. So what you want to do is flip the script and actually qualify them, or have them qualify to you. So essentially, what this is the frame, the mindset, or the frame that you have to achieve is that in which they have to convince you. They have to convince you as a why they want to work with you, or why you should work with them, right? They have to convince you. So you have to ask the right questions to tell, so, you know, and questions like, okay, so why do you want, you know, first you might ask about the project. What is this project? Be like, okay, cool. So why do you want me to work with you on this project? Okay. And that's when they're going to start like qualifying. It's like, well, because I'm looking for this kind of person. They're telling you essentially everything you need to tell them later to close a sale, because they're going to tell you everything they're looking for. So you take notes of this, because this is like valuable information for the close. So they'll tell you all this information. They're qualified themselves as of why you should work with them. And then you're just going to feed them that information at the end when you close a sale. So you really need to pay attention to that flipping of the script. And also it really shows also that you have standards, you know, that you want to make sure that this is going to be a good client, that there's going to be a good relationship, that you are really the person he's looking for, and you're really the client you're looking for. Because otherwise, you know, it's just like having no standards. It's just like, yeah, I don't care about anything. I just want the sale. I just want the money. Just give me the project, you know, and it doesn't come off, you know, at least it's not going to be the kind of client or relationship you want to have. So you have to make sure you absolutely qualify them, and you do not move into pitching your sale until they have qualified themselves. If you skip this process, then chances are they're not going to see as much value in you, because they're not investing in you. You're doing everything. You just try to like convince them or like generate desire in them, but that's not going to work. So once they qualify, you move to the third step, which would be the sales pitch. And this is when you offer your product, right? This is where you offer it. Well, I'm not going to say your product, because what you have to do is offer what's valuable about your company, because obviously, hopefully by this point, your service or whatever service or product you're offering, you already know what's like your distinct advantage over your competitors. So like, for example, me, I do like explainer videos, right? I offer explainer videos. That's my product, but that's not my business, you know, because a lot of businesses offer explainer videos. So that's like the commodity, that's a product, and they already know. So you don't have to offer your product. They already know that they want it. What you want to offer is what's different about you. Why should they pick your business over somebody else's business? But what they don't, and that's when you have to like start really adding value to the sales pitch. So it's not only like, this is my product, or this is the, you know, the commodity that you're going to get for your money. You know, you have to be like, you have to go beyond that and offer what's different about you. So a good way to do it for like a good way that I do it, for example, is like, well, something that would be different for me, for example, is that not only am I going to produce your video, but what I want, like what's distinct about me from other ones is like continuous results, right? So for example, I'm not just going to produce the video and just like send it to you and be done with it. I want this video to actually give you what you want, which is customers and conversions. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to offer you, let's say, like a 3-month period in which I'm going to keep track of all your video statistics, so we can see how it's doing, so we can change something if it's necessary, so that you actually get the result that you want from the video, right? So I'm going to keep track of that for you for 3 months, and that way we'll make sure that you get the value that you want from the video. So when you offer that, that's something that already makes you different from all the guys who are just like, here's your video, here's my money, all right, good business. You know, so you want to have that distinct advantage, and that's just offering value, you know, just putting value, and that's how you justify your higher prices. Because most people want to compete in price, but that's the wrong approach. Because chances are you're not going to be able to compete in price with some companies that are doing it for like 1/10 of what you would. So what you want to do is raise the price, but also raise the value. That's the smart way to go about it. So, and that's the third step. And then if you do that all that properly, the closing will be almost like effortless, because then you move into the closing stage. And here is just basically like hard closing. You just basically ask questions like, are you ready to get started? You know, you don't want to like, you already get them invested emotionally in this. You don't want to have like, be like, oh, let me think about it, I'll get back to you, because obviously that emotional investment is going to dwindle down. So what you want to do is like right there and then be like, are you ready to get started? And most of them are going to say, yes, this sounds great. And then you don't ask the yes or no questions. It's not like, do you want to buy or not? You know, you try to avoid those yes or no questions. Instead, what you do is you offer them options that already assume the sale. So it could be something like, let's say you have two different packages, right? Like your basic and your premium package. So it's like, okay, great, you're ready to get started. Which one you want? The basic or the premium package, right? So either way, it's already a sale. You know, you're just going to have to choose, and you can customize it and blah, blah, blah. So that way you're like going straight for the sale. And this is obviously when the objections are going to come. Mainly they come for the price. You know, the main objection that you're going to get most of the times is like, I can't afford it, right? That's like the money is the first objection you will always get. But here you have to learn how to handle the objections and how to, you know, find the true motivation behind it, because you have to read between the lines. You have the medium is the message. Most of the times they can say something like, well, I can't afford it. But that's too vague. You know, it's like you have to dig deeper. Why can't you afford it? You can't afford it right now. Okay, then maybe we can do a trial period. You can't afford it. You can't afford the whole price. Okay, maybe we can do we can divide it. You know, we can pay in parts. We can split it in monthly payments, you know, something like that. So you have to really find out what's the real motivation behind it and address it, and then just keep going for the close. But honestly, if you did all the previous ones right, the close would be pretty much effortlessly, because they're already being sold, and they would, and even if they would even be concerned and worried if they don't manage to close you, because you know they will lose probably the best client or the best partner to work with. So that's kind of the four points that you have to take into account: the rapport, qualification, the sales pitch, and the close. And that's like the basic structure of the sale.
Awesome. Yeah, that's actually a really detailed explanation. No, it's good. It's good. We want that. By the way, I just did a count across all platforms where we're streaming. We were up to 50 people, which is like 30% more than last week. So I'm even thinking of doing these streams maybe daily. I mean, I don't know if you guys want to show up every single day like this, spend like an hour on this, but you know, I can just do it myself as well, and then have you guys join every Monday. You don't have to say anything now, by the way. I'm just throwing ideas out there. But yeah, so that's a really good summary for sales. And now I guess we're going to let Jester talk about how to convert that process. That's like the basic inbound sales process if you have people coming to you. But what do you do if you find the leads on Google, as we described before, and you need to call them and they have no idea who you are? How would you apply that to those kinds of leads, Jester?
Yeah, so Karin just explained like the standard process, the standard sales process we have here in the daily business also. And really this process, you can apply it to different types of sales. I mean, you can do whatever. You can do email marketing. You can just go by and walk in. But you can also cold call. So that's what I've been focusing on lately, closing sales by phone. So I'm going to here explain my process I use to... The process I use to make sure that, first of all, that I get past the gatekeeper, because Alexander Vitkin told earlier that that you can find leads that don't have a gatekeeper. But actually, like the leads that I want, like the leads that have money, they almost always have a gatekeeper. So it needs to be part of your game that you can come by the gatekeeper. So.
Yeah, unless you're like learning it for the first time, like the first few calls, okay, it's better not to have a gatekeeper. But after that, as you said, I totally agree. You need to contact companies that are bigger, and or they all have gatekeepers, right?
Yeah, and it's not that hard to get past the gatekeeper. So first, like,
I totally agree. You need to contact companies.
To my guys that are cold calling, like, prepare your call. Make sure that you have like a pen and a paper so You can write down things that are interesting, and also before you start, find out the person we want to talk to actually, which is in the most case just the owner of the business, or is it a very big business, then you can go to the marketing director, because the CEO probably doesn't want to do those things. And you can say, like, if they are having more than 100 employees, then you could go for the marketing director, otherwise just go for the director. And then you can just find it on the website. You can just check the our team. And most of the time you can already see who the director is. And otherwise you can check on LinkedIn as well. So, for example, if the name is like John, that's great if you have this name, because then you can call and you can just straight up ask for it and make sure that you're asking it in a way where it's like kind of demanding. So you're calling and it's like, can I speak with John? And there are gatekeepers, they're going to like give it right through. They're going to say like, oh, he's not there, or some are just going to give it. But also some are like going to make it complicated. They're going to ask like, oh, why do you want to speak with him? Now you can say, oh, yeah, I just sent it this email. You didn't catch my email. And then you just like pitch a little bit of what you're doing. Like, oh, I am, for example, I'm an investor from Quality Animation, and I'm doing this and that. And then what you basically have to do is sell the gatekeeper. And you will see that most of the time that the director is not there. So when the director is not there, then that's actually something that's really great, because then you can already set an appointment and you can like close the gatekeeper on the phone number. So you can ask the gatekeeper like, yeah, I'm just starting out. I really want to talk to the director. And also I'm going to talk later about what you're going to say to the director himself. But you can already say something like, I just want to know if the type of industry that you're in, like if that's interesting for me. I'm not like really like selling right now. I'm just like more like an interview, more like a study to see if this will work out. And then you're just going to try to get the phone number from the gatekeeper, from the director. So you can just call the director right away. Like that's the best thing that you can get. And especially if you're a beginner and you're not really like having the balls to do it, then you can first send an email. And in the email, you can ask something like, oh yeah, can I do like a quick interview to see if the kind of service that I'm selling or product I'm selling can be interesting for the kind of industry that you are working in. So that's really also the first sentence that you're going to say when you're going to talk to the director himself. So when you get past the gatekeeper, or when you get the email and you can eventually you're talking to the director or to the marketing director, then you can ask the question like, is it okay if I do a quick interview where I'm going to see if the type of service that I'm selling can be interesting for the type of industry that you're working in? I'm just going to ask like a few questions and I'm sure that I can give you some value as well. Of course, not everyone is going to be helping you, but a lot of people are. Especially if you're just saying that you're like starting out and it's just you and someone else, or it's just you, then most of the time they will take some time and help you out. And then you can start like an interview. And with this interview, it's really great because you can ask all the questions that you actually need to close a sale, like all the information that you need. So you can ask them like, how much employees do you have? Why do you ask how much employees they have? And you can find out how much money they have in the business in general. If they're only having like two people, so no employees, then most of the time they are broke. But they are if having like 50 plus people, then it's a great lead most of the time. So you can ask those questions to actually screen if you want to go on or not. And also you can like find the pain point. That's really the most important thing. Like, you have to be smooth about it though. Like you can like just straight up ask like, what are your problems? But you can say like, what in the last 6 months are you really proud of? And then they're going to explain that part. And then after that you can, and what are things that you like to work on? And then you can say like, oh, I want more conversions, or, oh, I want more, I want a bigger brand, or they can say whatever, but that's important because you need to know that reason. If you don't know that reason, then you're going to get, like, I see that so much, like, guys that are, like, cold calling or doing sales, and they are like guessing what the client wants, and that sucks just really bad. Like, oh yeah, I'm gonna up your conversions with 10x, and then they just don't care because they are already having too much conversions.
By the way, I have a question from Ayman Murad. He says, how would you introduce yourself in the first 5 minutes when cold calling?
I should just say, hey, I'm Yester. Or I just put my business behind it. Doesn't really matter. But it's more about the way how you say it. Like, it doesn't matter what you say. You can say whatever. Just make sure that you're saying it like in a demanding tone so that people are going to listen to you.
Okay. Let me answer another question. Georgi Tartarashvili, hope I pronounced that correctly, he's asking, maybe it's off topic, but can you talk about personal brand versus business brand? Yeah, so in terms of business brand, a lot of industries like agencies, for example, it's customary to have a business brand, especially if it's growing. But in the beginning, when you're dealing with like a really small business, just give it your name. You can always change it. It's no big deal. And in the beginning, it's just easier to get sales as a person than as a like a big and serious business. Unless you know what you're doing, and if you know what you're doing, you're gonna sell to billion-dollar companies and like big companies that really do their due diligence and look at every little detail. Then maybe you should do a little bit of research and find a name for your business instead of using your own name that is similar to how the high-end suppliers in your industry are naming themselves. For example, you know, imagine if all the lawyers in your city that are really successful, and in other cities they're all called like Jonathan Johnson, then you would also call yourself something like that and not just call it like Happy Law Friends or something, obviously, right? So you do your research and you see how they do their logo and you see how they do their kind of name branding, and you could kind of copy that. But in the beginning, for most businesses, like I know you guys who are watching this for your business, in the beginning, just generally speaking, just use your own name. And another question, is it Kareem or Yester, do you know anything about hip-hop or how to promote hip-hop artists? I'll just answer this question myself then. So what do you think would be the best marketing investment for a hip-hop artist? That's what they're saying. So in my opinion, you can always interrupt me, guys, but in my opinion, it's just get a camera and start putting yourself on YouTube every day making music. If you're not doing it and you want to be an artist, like, you're never going to be an artist. It's not going to happen. Unless you're doing like live events, of course, but live events or streaming yourself on YouTube, etc. Sorry, go ahead.
The one thing I would add to that is, I mean, I guess it works for all marketing, but I guess especially with artists, do collaborations. Those are massive. Just do collaborations with artists that, you know, already have a name out there for themselves. And because that will give you all their fan base, will all of a sudden be exposed to you as well. So that would be a great way to give yourself a lot of exposure. Just do collaborations with other artists.
Cool. Yeah, I think that was all the questions. Did you want to add anything to your cold calling strategy, Yester?
Yes. After you get past the gatekeeper, you're going to ask if the kind of like service would be interesting. You're going to do like a quick interview. And this interview, you can screen and you can ask them questions. And you really want to get the pain point, because later you're going to like resolve this pain with your product. But like I said before, stop guessing like what you think is the problem of your client. Like, people are like saying like, oh yeah, I'm going to up your conversions. And just be open-minded. Like, it can be, and the problem can be everything. So make sure you're going to find that problem that they have. And then after the interview, you can pitch your product. But pitch your product like as the solution of their biggest problems that you found earlier in the interview. So then you're gonna pitch it, and then if you feel that there's any type of interest, then you're gonna flip the script immediately. So if you're, for example, they're saying, yeah, you're having a hard time getting conversions on our website, and you're like a developer who can make like better looking websites, for example, better landing page. Then, and you feel like they are saying like, Yeah, it could be interesting if you make like a new landing page for us. You're going to flip the script immediately and you're going to ask them questions like, oh, why is it so important for you? And then you're making it that that person needs to sell himself to you. So if you feel any indication of a person being interesting, flip the script immediately and start making them sell themselves to you. And then from there, you can close that shit.
Okay. So let's see if there's questions. Do you guys have questions? All the live viewers, do you have questions about this? Otherwise, I'm going to go and answer.
You should be having questions. You guys should be having questions about cold calling. It's like, it's kind of complicated.
They're asking also questions about other stuff, honestly, not cold calling. But someone's asking, how would you market a SaaS product targeting Amazon FBA sellers? Well, Facebook ads, of course, because people kind of... Although I would say probably with Facebook ads, you're not going to find that many. But if you join some online communities, there's online communities with FBA sellers all over the place. Most of them are completely broke, have no money. Even guys making $1 million are often completely broke. But maybe they'll buy your stuff, and if they do, you could maybe make some money. But but if you want to sell to FBA buyers, join their communities. Online communities, oftentimes paid, but not too expensive because they're broke. So you can join the online communities and sell to them via the online communities, connect like that. Go to their live events, sell in person. And probably you don't want to do that too much though, right? And then another way is to simply contact them via Amazon. So find out their company name and then find them, on Amazon, you find their company name. And then you look them up on LinkedIn, send them a private message on LinkedIn, on Facebook. Maybe find their phone number of their company if they have a website and call them up. So that's what I would do when targeting Amazon FBA sellers. So, oh God, there's more questions. Okay, how should I charge businesses for 1 or 2 minute explainer videos? That's for Yester. That's what he sells. So go ahead, Yester. What would you say to that?
What was the question?
How much should, so Joseph Nairenge, oh God, I can't pronounce it. Joseph is asking, how much should I charge businesses for a 1 or 2 minute animated explainer videos?
Okay, this is the same question for every product. What you do is you go on Google, you make a top 10 of the competitors that you feel like are delivering the same quality. Then you're going to call them and you're going to ask like, hey, I want a 1 to 2 minute explaining video, or I want a website, or I want this Facebook ad service. And then you're going to pick like the different prices they give you. And then you make like an estimate, and then that's going to be your price.
Okay. So, and then Christopher Cafella is asking, do you personally do in-person meetings if the prospect is local, or keep it on the phone? That's also for you, Yester, I guess.
Yeah, I was like traveling, like all around, like driving, which was absolutely stupid. I'm never going to get that time back because we're living in 2016 now. So we're having like phones and computers, and they're having like a webcam, and then you can just like be there on Skype. So just do Skype is my advice. It's the same thing. So
a lot of people, they have an easier time. Like Umesh, when he joined Eclose Sale in real life, right? Like he got on the phone and then he met him in real life. So I've noticed some people, they have an easier time in real life. For me, I mean, I can, but I just prefer not to, because it's just travel time and I'm not guaranteed to get paid. So I'm like, whatever. I tend to not do things anymore unless I'm guaranteed to get paid 100% upfront. So, but if you're not at that stage yet, then maybe just go and meet them, man. Because if you think you're good in real life, then do it. Otherwise, Skype. Yeah, fuck yeah, Skype all the way, man. So, Eli Bekonen is asking, biggest differences in B2C and B2B cold calling? B2C, don't do that. Don't do B2C. You're going to go to jail. I mean, you're not going to go to jail unless you know exactly what you're doing. I don't like B2C at all, and I hate people who call me B2C. Like, if I get a phone call, and as a consumer, like, not as a business, I'm like, I just fuck with them as for their company, and then blacklist them. And then, like, you don't want to call me if you're not selling as a company to a company. You don't want to call me, trust me. So I would not get into B2C. But if you really, really want to, I mean, what would you say is the biggest difference? Yes, I mean, you've never done B2C calling though, have you?
No, I've seen some things, but then because like with they letting those kids like do a B2C calling, right? Like in those call centers.
Oh
So
yeah.
I think with business to business, I think you have to get past the gatekeeper. I think that's the only difference.
Yeah, there's that plus B2C, they're gonna be less advanced buyers and they're less likely to buy as well.
They're gonna be broke also.
Yeah, oftentimes, I mean, I talk to B2C guys. I've never ever done B2C, and you will never see me do B2C cold calling. But the guys who are so the guys who are doing it, they told me basically you need to call old people. Like, this is not my advice, okay? Do not fucking quote me on this. I do not propose you do this at all. So do not do this, and don't quote me on this. So the guys who someone told me who this. Does this, right? And he wanted to quit his job. It was a job. So he says, you call old people who can't say no and they just want to talk to someone and they'll buy whatever you're selling and you kind of trick them into it. That's the B2C callers. Like, I don't
Oh
recommend
my
this.
God.
I prefer, B2B. Talk to competent business owners who will buy what they need and then consult them and be a professional salesman, not like scam artist. So I don't like B2C for that reason, B2C cold calling. So it's just my personal opinion. I'm sure someone there is watching this right now. He's like, you don't know what you're talking about. Well, you're kind of right. I don't. I've never done B2C. This is just my limited experience here. So let's move on to the next question, if there is any. Hey, do you want a t-shirt? No. That's yes, you could say that. You could totally say that on BTC calls. All right, awesome. I guess we should round it up here. It's already 40 minutes. Good live stream. Do you guys have any final things you want to say?
Yeah, start calling. Try it out at least. Like just pick up your phone and try out cold calling. It's also really good to stay in shape because if you're only like once in a while having like this meeting with a client, then you can cold call, and even though you're not like really closing crazy sales at cold calling yet, at least you stay like in the mindset where you're like selling all the time. So that's also a really good reason to keep cold calling.
Okay.
Yeah, and for me, the only tip I would say is to close it up is start getting like in your daily life, start getting in the habit of negotiating. Like try to close deals like in everyday life. So something as simple like if, like here in London, for example, like if you go to most of the shops, like food, like fast food shops, they charge you extra to eat in than to eat out. And sometimes you can try to like negotiate, like, oh, like I don't have the, can I eat in? Like you charge the, like the, you pay for the eat out, but then you eat in. Like you try to negotiate or like try to like just ask people for stuff so you get better at negotiating, right? Even if you don't want it necessarily, just to like negotiate and to like pitch up, pitch down, just like get in that habit of getting negotiating with people and having that confrontation to resolve the objections.
All right, this was our show for today. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast if you like it. I'll see you next time. If you'd like to find out more about me, visit vitkin.net. That's VITKIN.net. Thank you for listening to the show and see you next time.